Chapter 8, entitled Praise by Queen Kunti and Parikshit Seth. Text number 52. Yatha pankena pankamba.
Yatha
pankena pankamba. Suraya vasurakritam. सुराकृतम् भूतहत्यां तथैवैकाम् भूतहत्यां तथैवैकाम् न यज्ञैर्माष्टुम् अर्हति न यज्ञैर्माष्टुम् अर्हति यथा पङ्केन पङ्काम्बः सुराकृतम् भूतहत्यां तथैवैकाम् न यज्ञैर्माष्टुमर्हति यथा पङ्केन पङ्काम्ब सुरया वा सुराकृतम् भूतहत्यां तथैवैकाम् यथा एज मच एज पंकेना बाय द मट पंक अंबह वॉटर मिक्स्ड विद मट सुरया बाय वाइन वा आइदर सुराकृतम इम्प्यूरिटी कॉज्ड बाय the slight touch of wine, bhuta hatyam, killing of animals, tatha, like that, eva, certainly, ekam, one, na, never, yagyai, by the prescribed sacrifices, mashtum, to counteract, Arhati is worthwhile. Translation and purpose by Sri Vaishnava C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. As it is not possible to filter muddy water through mud or purify a wine-stained pot with wine, it is not possible to counteract the killing of men by sacrificing animals. Translation, please repeat. As it is not possible to filter muddy water through mud or purify a wine-stained pot with wine. It is not possible to counteract the killing of men by sacrificing animals. Purport. Ashwamedha yagyas or Gomedha yagyas, sacrifices in which a horse or a bull is sacrificed, were not, of course, for the purpose of killing the animals. Lord Chaitanya said that such animals sacrificed on the altar of yagya were rejuvenated and a new life was given to them. It was just to prove the efficacy of the hymns of the Vedas. By recitation of the hymns of the Vedas in the proper way, certainly the performer gets relief from the reactions of sins. But in case of such sacrifices improperly done under inexpert management, surely one has to become responsible for animal sacrifice. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, there is no possibility of performing the yagyas perfectly for the want of expert brahmanas who are able to conduct such yagyas. Maharaj Yudhishthira therefore gives a hint to performing sacrifices in the age of Kali. In the Kali Yuga, the only sacrifice recommended is the performance of Harinam Yagya, inaugurated by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But one should not indulge in animal killing and counteract it by performing the Harinam Yagya. Those who are devotees of Lord never kill an animal for self-interest. And as the Lord ordered Arjuna, they do not refrain from performing the duty of a Kshatriya. The whole purpose, therefore, is served when everything is done for the will of the Lord. This is possible only for the devotees. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the first canto, 8th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Prayers by Queen Kunti and Parikshit Singh. ॐ अज्ञान्तिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घायते गिरिं यत्कृतमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनकारणम् वांशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यरेव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो हियर वी end this chapter number 8 today, the last verse. So in this chapter we saw how Parikshit Maharaj was saved from the Brahmastra weapon of Ashwatthama, and then we had these very popular prayers, very popular amongst devotees, these prayers of Queen Kunti. And now in the last part of this chapter, as we see, Yudhishthira Maharaj is externally we can see he's like bewildered, and he is not able to. He says, "I can't rule the kingdom after winning from Kauravas." So this chapter, then we have the next chapter, which we will start tomorrow, are connected. So this is the will of Lord, that Yudhishthira Maharaj is somewhat under, he is like bewildered, somewhat under illusion. So as we see, as Gangeshwar Prabhu was also saying, that these events are not in chronological order. So that's not a fault with Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is perfect. It's Amalam Puranam. Spotless. There is no tinge of fault in Bhagavatam. So these events are organized because it's like a conversation between Shukdev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. And the motive of this conversation is obviously whenever there are two devotees, they talk about Krishna. And this Bhagavatam, it's Krishna Katha, the pastimes of Krishna and his expansions. So this is a conversation, and the motive of this conversation is to give this knowledge of Krishna to the fallen people of Kali Yuga. Of course, it's eternal knowledge. Krishna Katha is eternal because Krishna is eternal and his expansions are eternal. So the devotees have been always talking about Krishna. So this Srimad Bhagavatam, although not chronologically organized, but still it's perfect. So this is a contrast with the history that we study in, you know, schools and colleges. Yesterday we were here, His Holiness Devamrit Maharaj was saying that historians take pride that, oh, they arrange everything very properly in chronological order. But those events are of no use, those different events, when Titanic sank or, you know, when something was built, they are of no ultimate use for the human beings, for the living entities in general. So these conversations that are presented here in Srimad Bhagavatam are for the benefit of everyone. It is said when these topics of Krishna are chanted, so three types of people are benefited. Those who chant these glories and pastimes of Lord, those who hear, actually the questions, those who ask a question about Krishna, they are benefited, those who answer, they benefited, and whoever hears, they are benefited. And it is said even afterwards, if there is a place and where Krishna Katha took place, and someone comes to that place after that discussion happened, he also gets benefit. So this is the power of Krishna Katha. And ultimately, actually devotees take pleasure. So here when Parikshit Maharaj is asking different questions to Shukdev Goswami, so they both are in ecstasy. So one topic leads to another, and then Parikshit Maharaj asks questions, although he is completely self-realized. So he is asking questions and they are taking pleasure, and then when we discuss these topics, then we take pleasure. So this is very scientifically organized. There is no fault in Srimad Bhagavatam. There are 10 topics in Srimad Bhagavatam. Atra sargo visargasya sthanam poshnamukhya manvantare shamukatha nirodho muktir ashraya. So the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, from creation, sub-creation and so on, these all 10 topics are present in all the 12 cantos. But one or two of the topics are more elaborately discussed in each canto like that. But all 10 are present there. And ultimately the 10th topic is most important. That's Ashraya, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. So all these 9 topics take shelter there. So ultimately the basis of all cantos is Supreme Personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. And that's just straight away when Bhagavatam starts, that is established there. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we pay our most humble obeisances to Supreme Personality of Godhead, Son of Vasudev, Lord Sri Krishna. So it's established straight there. That's the ashraya. So even the 9th topic, liberation, mukti, that takes shelter into the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Mukunda, he gives mukti. Without Krishna's mercy, there is no possibility of getting liberated from this cycle of birth and death. So that's the perfection of Srimad Bhagavatam. So now here we see how Yudhishthir Maharaj is bewildered. He says, oh, I am responsible for killing so many millions of people, and I'll get the sin. So same way, so he says, I can't perform my duties, I can't rule the kingdom. So same way Arjuna, as we see in before the war, he was bewildered. So in first chapter, in the end, he says, he also says, I can't. He keeps his bows and arrows down, he says, I won't fight. So the last verse of first chapter of Bhagavad Gita says, eva muktva arjuna sankhe rato pastupavishat visrija sa sharam chapam shoka samvignamanasa. His mind bewildered with grief, he just puts his bow and arrows down and he says, I won't fight. So this is the nature of pastimes of Krishna. So those who are not intelligent, they can't see the intricacies of these pastimes. So actually this bewilderment of Yudhishthir and Arjun, they are arrangement of Lord. So this is the mystery of Lord's pastimes. Lord's pastimes are very mysterious, and there is a specific qualification to actually understand and get into that mystery and then relish the those pastimes. Otherwise, to common people it just sounds very strange. You know, such a big fighters, they are crying, and Arjuna's symptoms were described in Bhagavad Gita. His hairs were standing on end, the mind was reeling. Such a qualified person. And, you know, so then one can doubt that why should we hear about these personalities? But we understand this is a mystery, that Lord puts the Lord's energy puts these devotees in illusion, and so that these further incidents can take place which are beneficial for everyone. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is even not being able to understand Krishna's advice here, who is Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present within everyone's heart. So even he says, oh, I can't be convinced. And then he goes to Bhishma Dev, who instructs him, who wanted to see Lord himself at the time of his death. So we see this potency of Lord, which covers his devotees, is Yogamaya. So that's the potency of Lord. So in spiritual world, and the pure devotees who are in material world performing pastimes with Sri Krishna, they are under this Yogamaya potency. So in Golok Vrindavan, no one knows that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full with six opulences, and you know, they think, oh, he is our friend, he is our son. And the elderly, in Vatsalya Rasa, the elder gopas and gopis, Mother Yashodananda Maharaj and others, they think, oh, this is our son. If we don't maintain him, there will be a problem. He will be in problem. So we have to maintain him. Without us, he will get sick, or you know. So we have to protect him. So this is bewilderment by Yog Maya. And same way, other friends, the gopas, the younger gopas, sakhas, they think, oh, Krishna is just our friend. He is equal to us. Maybe we are greater than him. We will defeat him in fighting. Like that. So this is the covering of Yog Maya. So this is energy of Krishna. And in material world, the Yog Maya expands as Mahamaya. So Mahamaya is different, acts differently, but it's an expansion of Yog Maya. It is said in Narad Pancharatra that Mahamaya is the expansion of Yog Maya. So how Mahamaya bewilders is, it bewilders the conditioned souls, and so that they think that they are. They don't know the supremacy of Krishna. They think they are controllers and enjoyers. So in material world, everyone is trying to enjoy and be the controller of material energy. So this is Mahamaya. So there is one place though in like where Yogamaya is not present, which is Vaikuntha Lok. In Vaikuntha Lok, there is no Yogamaya or Mahamaya. There devotees understand, oh, this is Lord Narayan, this is Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then they worship him in Dasya Bhav. So that's the place. But apart from that, everyone is under either Mahamaya or Yogamaya. So here these pastimes, this Yogamaya potency is so powerful that these great devotees like Yudhishthira, Arjun, Parikshit Maharaj got bewildered. He put snake around Shamika Rishi so that these further incidents would take place. Shukdev Goswami would speak Srimad Bhagavatam. And we see in Krishna's pastimes, even Lord Balram got bewildered when for 1 year all the cowherd boys and cows, the calves were stolen by Brahma. Even Lord Balram didn't know for a whole year that these cowherd boys and calves are actually expansions of Krishna. After 1 year he came to know. So what to speak of Lord Balram, who is of course not different from Krishna, is just the first expansion of Krishna. Even Lord Krishna allows Yogmaya to cover himself. So that's why in this chapter we see how Queen Kunti, she says that I'm bewildered to see that when Mother Yashoda is trying to bind you to the mortar, and you are actually afraid, not like acting to be afraid, but you are actually afraid. So this is very bewildering. Why? Because even the fear personified fears from you, and you are afraid of Mother Yashoda. This is very bewildering. So this is the potency that of Yog Maya even covers Krishna. So these intricacies are very hard to understand if one is not faithful. So in Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna establishes his conclusion in the end, he says, Sardharman Paritejya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. So straight after that, verse number 67, he says, Idam te na tapakasya na vaktaya kadachana na cha shushrushave vachyam na cha mam yogya suyati. So he says, this confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me. So people who are envious of Krishna, they can never understand him. If they don't do devotional service, they are envious, they have their own mental speculation, they can never understand Krishna. And then they want to just concoct their own theories that this universe came from a big bang, there was a blast and the whole organized planetary systems came about, or the man came from the monkeys. So all these theories are their mental speculation, because they are envious of Krishna. They want to be the controller and they want to propose, or see, we know so much, we have this knowledge. So all these six opulences that Krishna have, these atheists are envious of that. So one opulence is Krishna is full of knowledge. But no, these scientists say, no, we know better. What is this Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam? We will tell you, we know better. But if you see Srimad Bhagavatam, that how creation happens, everything is there in such a detail. How the planetary systems are arranged in fifth canto, we can see. And very nicely, scientifically, the scientific knowledge is present there. Otherwise, they just come up with their concoctions. So yesterday I was reading, they recently found the oldest, they are claiming, the scientists from Oxford, a very prestigious, so-called prestigious universities, they are saying, we found the oldest musical instrument in Germany. It's like 42,000 years old, and it's a flute. That's the oldest. Now they have found out, and it's made of bird bone and the ivory from mammoths, the ancient creatures. But if you just turn to Srimad, you don't have to do so much excavation and, you know, carbon dating and so many processes. You just turn to Srimad Bhagavatam and you know, oh, Krishna has been playing flute from time immemorial. So why to do so much exercise? So these scriptures that we have, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, they are actually, according to an analogy given in Chaitanya Charitamrita, said these scriptures are like mines. So these scriptures are like mines, and when we hear them, we are like entering in a mine. And what we get in a mine, in a good mine, is we want to get some valuable things. So the conclusions given in these scriptures are like the jewels. So when we enter these minds, we get these jewels, this understanding, oh, our position is that we are just tiny. So this is like a conclusive truth, but people don't understand. They think they are the biggest, and, you know, so they want to be the enjoyer. So in these scriptures, we have these jewels, and it is only possible to understand if we take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So by taking shelter of Radha and Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, we can actually understand these conclusive truths, and then our life will be successful. Otherwise, our life is based on mental speculation and different fruitive activities. So in Bhagavad Gita it says, Anashrita karma phalam karyam karma karotiya sa sanyasi cha yogi cha na niragnena chakriya. That one actually who is not taking shelter in the fruits of his action, but he acts as he is obliged to act, he is actually truly a sannyasi and a yogi. So of course we have so many yoga societies and so-called sannyasis are there. But real yoga and real sannyasi is taught here in Bhagavad Gita, 6th chapter, 1st verse. So there it says, we shouldn't take shelter in the activities, the results of our activities. So people are working hard. They are taking shelter in these false and temporary things. Bank balance, family, house. They're taking, that's their only shelter. They have no conception of Supreme Personality of Godhead. But here in these scriptures, which are like mines, it is said that we, if we take shelter of Krishna, then actually that's the real shelter. Then we get these valuable jewels. Otherwise all these valuable things, so-called valuable things that we accumulate, it's just more burden actually. We are collecting burden rather than any, it's like more troublesome. Like that. So for a devotee, when he takes shelter in Krishna, he gets a higher taste. And then these lower shelters, we can very easily give up. Like that. So without giving up these lower anarthas, these material desires, actually we can't progress. So the word yoga, as we know, yoga means to link up with the Supreme Absolute Truth. And Bhagavad Gita says that without renouncing these desires, these material desires, we can never unite with Krishna. If we have just in one pocket somewhere a couple of material desires. So Krishna says, you just give everything to me. Sarvarman paritaje. Give up everything. All what you think is religion, what you think is your shelter. You just give that conception and just surrender to me. Take up this process of bhakti, hearing and chanting, and then that is, then there will be yoga or complete union. We would understand our swarupa, that who we actually are. We are servant of Krishna, and how we serve Krishna in a particular way. So initially we just, as we know, the very sadhana bhakti, we follow all the rules and regulations as we read the vatana. As we are obliged to do, we have to serve either the reality or the illusion. So if we, as a duty, as a knowledge, for, as you know, that okay, we have this knowledge that Krishna is supreme, so we must serve him. We may not have realization, but if we serve Krishna, we do selfless service, and with good association, then realization would also come. And then we can actually go to the next level of Raganuga Bhakti, spontaneous devotional service. In that we know actually, oh, we are Krishna, this is our relation with Krishna. So when a neophyte chants Hare Krishna, it's so there's offensive chanting, so many offenses are there. So when we avoid that, when a bhakta in on Raga platform, he chants, externally it looks almost same, but actually he's seeing Krishna face to face. So actually Sridhar Swami was the original commentator of Srimad Bhagavatam. He said the pure real chanting is when you chant Hare Krishna, you see Krishna face to face. So that is real chanting. So all these aspects of Krishna are there within the name. The name is Krishna. So we have Madhurya Lila Guna Rupa Naam Naam. So when we chant the name, holy name, Hari Naam, then the Rupa, Guna and the Lila is just, it's there, already there. So it just expands for a pure devotee. So that's pure chanting, Shuddha Naam. So to reach there, we follow all the rules and regulations very nicely, and Srila Prabhupada said that it's like we have to be very careful while chanting. Two things are there, that we are very careful and we have to be faithful. So then actually, because then it would reveal, everything would reveal like that. So here we see today that how Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying, it's a continuation from yesterday's verse actually. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is thinking, oh, he has done so many sins by killing all, he's taking responsibility for killing all these people in the battle. And to get rid of those sins, he performed the Ashwamedha Yajna, like that. So all these yajnas are there. So if someone wants prosperity, so to get that, knowingly, unknowingly, they do so many sins. And to counteract those sins, there were methods given in Vedas. So these Ashwamedha Yajna, Gomedha Yajna, these sacrifices were performed. And like Parshuram also killed a king, and then his father said, okay, to atone for that sin, you go to holy places. So these are the various methods given for atonement. But here in today's purport, Srila Prabhupada says, for Kali Yuga, actually, these sacrifices are not recommended. Ashwamedha Yajna, you know, sacrificing a horse or a cow, because there are no expert Brahmanas in this day and age, so they can't chant these hymns very properly, so we cannot perform these yajna. So the only yajna which is prescribed for this day and age is Harinam yajna, so the chanting of holy name. So this is the sacrifice we have to perform, and then actually all our sins and pious credits will get burned, which is also a good news. So all these positive and negative account of these reactions have to get finished until we take full shelter of Krishna. If we have even a tinge of these material reactions sitting on our head, so we can't take full shelter of Krishna. So by chanting actually we can reach to the full shelter of Krishna. So there is this pastime where in Chaitanya Charitamrita there is a discussion between Sanatan Goswami and Haridas Thakur. So Sanatan Goswami came from Mathura to Jagannath Puri, and so there he was for some days, he was staying with Haridas Thakur. So on the way actually, he, by contacting dirty water or something, he got a disease and he had blisters all over his body, and so he wanted to commit suicide. Mm-hmm. And Mahaprabhu understood that and he said, you can't commit suicide because your body belongs to me, you know. So then Haridas Thakur was glorifying Sanatan Goswami. Oh, how fortunate are you that, you know, Lord actually considers your body to be his body, and actually what he wants to do, he would do from through your body. So you would write so many revealed scriptures, you would excavate these lost places, lost holy places. So like that he was glorifying him, and in return, then this is the exchange of devotees. We glorify each other, and that, and the Lord takes pleasure in that. So then in return, he didn't get proud, but he was glorifying Haridas Thakur. He said, actually, you are most fortunate. Lord Chaitanya has come for this purpose of Harinam Sankirtan, propagating the holy name of Lord. So that's the purpose. That's one of the external purposes of appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he said, he's doing that through you. He's telling Haridas Thakur. So Haridas Thakur, as we know, is Namacharya. Although he was born in a Muslim family, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him the name of Namacharya. He was chanting 300,000 names every day. That's around 192 rounds. So we have even difficulty chanting 16 rounds. So Srila Prabhupada has recommended that if we chant 16 rounds, we can get and follow four regulative principles, we can reach perfection. So Haridas Thakur is exhibiting by his example. So that's why these acharyas are there to take shelter of. And then actually by taking shelter of these acharyas, following in their footsteps, we can achieve perfection. So Haridas Thakur is exhibiting. He was chanting day and night. So we can't do that because we are not purified. But he's setting up an example. So we can't complain that I don't have time to chant 16 rounds. Because he's shown in this day and age, it's possible to chant 192 every day. Ketaniya Sadahari. So we don't have any excuse. So that's the minimum limit given by Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada is setting this example, and in one of the there was one of the Vyas Puja celebrations that Prabhupada did for his Guru Maharaj Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. So in that he actually said that, you know, sometimes we may feel that, oh, we can't do, we how to become pure devotee, how to perform these devotional activities. But he said, you just pray to the spiritual master that I am engaging under your guidance in and following, trying to follow your instructions. So you please give me strength and please give me intelligence. So like that, if we pray to spiritual master, to our Srila Prabhupada and other acharyas, so then actually they will give our strength. They'll give us strength and intelligence like that. So, and they are exhibiting, these great saints, they are exhibiting. So Srila Prabhupada once, they went to Kumbh Mela in Allahabad. So it was freezing cold there, and Kumbh Mela happens in December, January in India, northern India, and that's the peak of winter there, and people take a dip in the confluence of three rivers there. So it's very freezing. So Prabhupada set up these tents, and he used to call his, and Prabhupada went there to preach. People generally go there to get rid of sins and get liberation, so that when they dip in that confluence of rivers. But Prabhupada said, we are going there to preach because there will be so many people there, millions of people, so we can preach, we can chant Hare Krishna, because this is the yajna recommended for this age. So then he set up the tents, and he expected everyone to come for Mangal Aarti in the morning, and it was so cold that some of them didn't come. So a few days passed, it used to be like that, they couldn't even get out of the sleeping bags. So one day, Srila Prabhupada just went out there, and there was a pump, hand pump, and there was cold water, ice cold, and he sat down there and just started taking bath with ice cold water. So when all the disciples saw, they were really hurt that, oh, because of us, to show us this example, he's doing this. And from that day on, you know, he just... everyone started coming to Mangal Aarti. So when we see these examples in front of us that, oh, these saints are sacrificing so much for us, so we should at least do the minimum, bare minimum level of devotional activities. So we got this email of monthly Sankirtan newsletter. In that, for the April, every month we have this book distribution. Vijay Prabhu compiles these results. So for the month of April, the top individual is His Holiness Jay Pataka Maharaj, 5,000 book points. So when he got the stroke, doctors thought he won't survive, and even if he survives, he would just, you know, won't be able to function much. But we see he's setting an example. Actually, he's still traveling and preaching and doing book distribution. So this is the mood of our acharyas, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has this mood. So in this conversation of Sanatana Goswami and Haridas Thakur, Sanatana Goswami tells Haridas Thakur that these two things are very important, achar and prachar. So achar is our behavior and prachar is the preaching that we do. So Sanatana Goswami says some people, they have very good behavior but they don't preach. But some preach very nicely, they don't behave properly. But you are exhibiting that you are both a good preacher and you are exhibiting a very good behavior. So that's we should aspire for. We should have very good dealings with Vaishnavas, glorify them, serve the Vaishnavas, and at the same time we preach this message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Otherwise, as here Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying, there is no other way. By any material activity, you cannot counteract the sins, the sinful reaction. So you can't filter muddy water through mud, or you can't purify a wine-stained pot with wine like that. So it's not possible. So only by bhakti, this process of bhakti and harinam sankirtan, can we counteract all our sins. But the main motive of chanting and bhakti is to develop love of God. All other things are very automatically performed, all the sins are counteracted. Devotee is not much concerned. We don't chant, "Oh, my sins go away." Of course we chant that sins would go away and then we can serve Krishna purely. But if some reaction comes and Krishna gives a token of reaction, we are not bewildered. We still continue serving Krishna. Because that's the goal of chanting, is to chant more and serve Krishna more. So I'll finish there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed. We have this envy for others and we glorify that devotee for that quality. So that's using the envy. Not using exactly the envy, but identifying the envy and then glorifying the devotee, then Krishna is pleased.
Yes, very true, because your Guru Maharaj is a nice book, Bhakti Bhav, and he is discussing this in the chapters, last few chapters, that how do you and we in the sense of Krishna. So we go to correct us. Thank you. That's a very good book, Bhakti Bhav. It's a small, 120 page book. Very nice.
Okay, thank you very much. Ganesha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, which I brought from you.